This podcast is from heptagonclub.co.uk and paulcarenza.com. The Heptagon Club.
Heptagon Club.
Heptagon Club with Paul Carenza. 7 guests, 7 corners.
On this week's show,
I've had 2 or 3 chances to be rich, all of which I've blown through bad decisions.
We need to negotiate more. Exactly. We need to be more balanced.
Yes. I had to play all 7 dwarves at the same time.
And your host,
Mr. Paul Carenza.
Hello and welcome. Happy Easter to you, if that's now when you're listening. It's Easter when I'm saying this anyway. So very happy Easter. Hope you've had a nice time and you've had chocolates and eggs and all sorts of other glorious joy and general Easter goodness. So I'm churning out one more podcast that I didn't think I would get to before our big live show. But I thought, well, we have a chance. So let's do that. It's just another little knee-length podcast to keep you going. So most likely you are listening to this after April the 23rd, 2017. If by chance it's before, you have a few days left to get tickets to the Heptagon Club live at the Bill Murray. That's angelcomedy.co.uk for lots of details. £5, 7-ish acts, including QI elf Stephen Colgan, Canadian maestro Tony Law, comedians Rob Thomas, Ashley Blaker, Paul Duncan McGarity, storyteller Becca Barron, hopefully Robin Ince, Alexis Dubas, all there. The ticket link is in this episode description or on our Facebook group. If you tweet the ticket link with hashtag HeptClubLive, H-E-P-T Club Live, then you can win books and DVDs and things like that. But the most important thing is do come if you can. If this is in the future, well beyond that, then in fact your probably podcast feed has all those names already on it. So I'm sure they'll be there ready for listening after this one. But we have some other very exciting guests coming up quite soon as well. Joe Lycett, we're hopefully chatting to very soon. Ramesh Ranganathan as well. I'm still working on Chris Evans and Dermot O'Leary, but give us time, we will maybe get there. Plus many unrecognised stars of the comedy circuit, of my street, of coffee shops and car journeys, anyone I can bump into really, all receive an invite to our 7-sided club. In fact, if you want to be a guest, then do get in touch. Or in fact, if you bump into me and I'm chatting to you and you want to be part of this, do just say, because I had a chat with someone recently who said, oh yeah, I'd love to do that. Great, let's do that. And they're on the show, so that's fantastic. We will work something out. I met many listeners, in fact, only the last week at the Spring Harvest Festival. Hello to you. If you're a listener I met there, that was fantastic to just bump into you and someone said, oh, I listened to the podcast, which is very exciting. So even lured along a couple of people I met there to be on today's podcast. More of them later. Right now, though, first of our 7 guests. If it's your first time with us, we have 7 guests per episode. And right now, it's the daddy of comedy podcasting. If you do not know this guy, he's a fantastic comedian. And he was doing comedy podcasts before any of us had even heard of podcasts. He was there first. And his name is Dominic Frisby. Oh, and come to the live show.
Ah, Dominic Frisby.
Hello.
Hello. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Welcome to this 7-sided Heptagon Club with our 7 fantastic guests.
Thank you. Is there a centre of a heptagon?
There is. Well, there is a centre, yeah. It's tricky to, I suppose, if you draw all the lines.
Is it in the middle?
It should be in the middle. The centre is mostly in the middle, I think, of everything, isn't it?
Yeah, but some, like the centre of a triangle wouldn't be. Oh, I think it would be, actually. You know, it's often quite hard to locate the centre of a triangle.
It is tricky, isn't it?
But I imagine a heptagon, I think, being 7-sided.
Yeah. Triangle's the trickiest thing, isn't it, to get
But a heptagon, you could do a circle around it and locate the thing.
Yes.
Whereas a triangle, you can't, unless it was an equilateral triangle.
I don't even know how you'd find the centre of a triangle. But of a heptagon, I imagine if you drew enough lines between all the points, you'd find something.
Yeah, I think the centre of... Yeah. If there was a hex... If there was a circle going around the points of a heptagon, the centre of the circle would also be the centre of the heptagon.
Yes.
But that wouldn't apply with a triangle, unless it was an equilateral triangle. I don't think. I'm not sure. I thought you were the mathematician.
Well, I was once long ago in the mists of time. But obviously you are the centre of the Heptagon Club. So that answers that mathematical polygon question. We were going to be a hexagon, to be honest, but then that's snooker, isn't it? So, you know, the old hexagon, they beat us to it. So, which means I've got one more bit of work to do, one more extra guest per week to find than the original plan for
this
show.
Did I say heptagon? I meant to say septagon. It is a septagon.
It's a I hope it's a heptagon, because we call this, this is the Heptagon Club.
The heptagon isn't that 5?
Pentagon's 5.
Heptagon 6.
Hexagon 6.
Septagon presumably is 7.
I think you go, heptagon, hexagon, pentagon, square, triangle, line, dot. I imagine, is that's me reducing the number of listeners until there is literally nothing left. You're an experienced podcaster yourself, aren't you? In many realms.
Yeah, many realms. I first started podcasting. I did my first podcast in 2006, and it was a financial podcast because there was all these people talking about stuff to do with finance and the economy. And I all thought they sounded very interesting, and I wanted to meet them. But I knew if you wanted to like have an hour's consultation with such a person, you would have to pay, you know, £200 or something. And so I started a podcast as an excuse to meet them, and that did very well. And as a kind of sideline, when I was doing that, I thought I had this bright idea. I think the science of comedy, what goes into comedy, is really interesting. And I thought it'd be really interesting to start a podcast talking about the art and science of comedy with other comedians.
Nice.
Called Comedians Talking. And I started this podcast, and it went very well for about 2 or 3 years. And then I kind of lost interest in it, one thing and the other. And then that was about 2008, 2009. And then about, I don't know, 2010, 2011, Mark Maron and Stuart Goldsmith and Paul Carenza and all these other people started talking about it.
Johnny Come Lately, I was the first.
But and unfortunately, in order to keep the podcast up on the site, Podbean, I had to pay $20 a year
Isn't it? Yeah.
And resenting that
fee
for something which was no longer existent, I didn't pay it. And now it is not even, it doesn't even exist on the internet anymore.
Lost to history. Yeah. Wow, that's antique podcasting, that is. But you still have the files, so clearly at some point
I will have some of them
when the internet becomes free in, you know, 40 years from now or something.
We can only dream.
Exactly.
More Dominic Frisbee in a bit, because, you know, Frisbees, they keep coming back. That's boomerangs, isn't it? Here's another comedian and actor, in fact, Matt Green, who has done proper acting in TV shows and films and all sorts of things, including Finding Neverland. Don't know if you've seen that Johnny Depp film, Kate Winslet, and also starring a little bit below them on the pecking order, but that's not a problem. Featuring as John Darling, it's Matt Green.
That was an insane experience. That was a big film.
Great
and
film. Well, yeah,
it's a really good film.
Yeah.
You know, we rehearsed those scenes. I was in the play of Peter Pan as John Darling. So the little company of the four actors, we sort of rehearsed the scenes for a week with a separate director, which was great. I mean, you'd never get that now, I suspect. But they just kind of... Basically, the director, Mark Forster, I think is Swiss and felt like he didn't really want to sort of have to direct the theatre stuff. He wanted someone else to come in and sort of direct the theatre stuff so that he could just sort of point the camera at it and direct the other things that was going on around it. So we had Philip French?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Darling Buds. No,
yes. Him. He was our director. So he came and did that. So we spent a week sort of doing intensive rehearsals, me and the two girls in it, and Kelly McDonald, who was playing Peter Pan. And that was really fun. It was really nice. We got to know each other a bit and stuff. And then we were sort of on set, and the first day we did on set was like actually the last scene of the film, nearly, where the Kate Winslet character, they bring the play to her in her sort of in her house. So we walked on set, and basically the first thing, you know, you see is this tiny room that we're going to perform in, and there's Johnny Depp, there's Kate Winslet, there's Julie Christie. And there's all the boys who we knew were we'd be there, but we didn't know that we'd never met them. And it was just this incredible feeling of like, it's like an enormous set of Neverland behind them.
Right.
So, because if you've seen a film like, you know, the sort of at the end of that scene, the walls sort of go up and then into Neverland.
Yes.
That was all real.
So that was there.
That was
right.
All real
okay.
set.
That
was, there was no CGI involved.
Yes.
Well, I guess there was probably some, but created.
Wow.
So that was quite an intense first experience of doing a day of filming, you know.
That's something, isn't it? That's a big old big old thing.
It was fun.
Yeah.
And the weird thing was, I was doing an Edinburgh show at the time, a two-man Edinburgh comedy sketch show. We were doing an Edinburgh preview that night in The White Bear. In Kennington, I think it
right,
is.
Right, yes, yeah.
So, tiny, you know, pub theatre, 50-seater. So I literally was on the set of Neverland.
Yeah.
Surrounded by these huge celebrities and, you know, film cameras and everything, and looking at my watch going, I've got to be back in Kennington. And we were filming in Shepperton. I've got to be back in Kennington for, I think it was an 8 o'clock start or an 8:30 start or something. And the day was running on and running on and running on. And then there was a point where the second assistant director or first assistant director said, sorry guys, we're going to actually have to because there was some late night filming, so we're going to do overtime. And I was like, I'd love to go to my team. Thinking it's such a sort of weird contrast. Yeah. And I went over to him and I said, I'm really sorry, but I have been told, I was told I was going to be free by whatever it was, 6 o'clock or something. And he went, I think you're going to have to ask your understudy to do it.
Stand-up doesn't really, if only it worked like
fringe
that.
Comedy doesn't really work. You know, you don't have an understudy, you don't have a... And in the end, I did manage to make it, but I had to... They put me in a car, and I had to get a taxi from Shepperton to the venue. And I was on the phone going, just, like, hold the show, basically, because I was late. And it was the most bizarre combination. But that's what it is, you know.
Yeah.
Still important.
Those Absolutely. Both shows are important.
They're just as important. Totally. So it's a,
totally.
But really, yeah, but... When he said, you're going to have to ask your understudy, I thought, yeah.
Yeah, that's nice.
I haven't really explained how small scale this is. You
know? Have you not had an understudy all these years as a stand-up? I've been training up this little junior version of acting.
It's been great.
Well, Matt's off to mingle, but over in this corner we have three more actors. They're currently touring around in a fringe show called The Monk's Tale. More of that on a future episode. But right now, let's let them introduce themselves.
I'm Anna Newcombe.
Yes.
And I'm Anna Nicholson.
Excellent.
And when we're together, we are known as
Nukes
and Nicks.
Nukes and Nicks.
Yay. Nukes and Nicks.
Is this a double act yet?
It's fast becoming.
I mean,
and I like Nukes and Nicks. You're not even referencing there are two Annas. You're not even doing that. You could call yourself the two Annas.
We have
we have a third Anna.
You do. I'm also I'm not called Anna.
No,
I'm called Cameron.
Cameron Potts.
That's correct.
Excellent name, isn't it?
It's a strong theatrical name.
It's a really good name.
Yeah, it doesn't open doors, but it's a strong stage name.
So as actors, what's the weirdest thing you've ever had to do on stage or part?
So I've played everything from Uganda, the country.
You've played Uganda?
I have played Uganda. I think very convincingly, actually, with quite a northern accent.
Okay.
So,
it's not Uganda, is it? It's Uganda. So,
it's Uganda, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's Uganda. Uganda to a... So I did a four-man version of Cinderella. There was Cinderella. There were the two ugly sisters, and then I played everyone else.
Excellent. Excellent.
Prince Charming, the Fairy Godmother, and Buttons.
Nice.
Now, I don't know if this was the same theatre company that we worked with, but I had to play all seven dwarves at the same time.
Wow. That's brilliant.
Just jogged my memory.
How did you do it?
Well, so I had a board with three different head holes.
It's like if you would play all seven members of S Club 7 with microphones jumping between.
I think I would have much preferred to do that. Mm.
Well, I suppose the seven dwarves are quite, you know, sneezy, you sneeze.
Oh, well, yeah.
And
grumpy.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not meant to play a state, but that really speaks
but
for
you
itself.
But you play a nation state.
That's very true.
Weirdest four-person panto recollection would be wearing satin trousers to play the whitest Aladdin Wimbledon has ever seen.
Right.
And halfway through the run, the satin trousers fell apart on stage.
Oh.
So I...
That's unfortunate.
Yeah, I had to safety pin them for the rest of the contract.
Was this a children's...
It was children's.
Okay, right.
So Nukes, Nicks and Potts are on tour in A Monk's Tale. That's off to Edinburgh Festival the summer of 2017. Written, in fact, by last episode's guest, James Carey. More on that in a future episode. Right now, it's our regular bring a bottle opportunity. It's only polite at parties to bring something yourself. And that varies week on week. This time, with just days to go until our live show, it is simply to come to that. Buy tickets at angelcomedy.co.uk. Our seven guests are there alongside the Cheap Show podcast. So you get their podcast for free on the night as well. And that includes a YouTube star called Ashens. So there you go, kids. Professional YouTuber. That's one of those jobs that you can do nowadays that eluded my careers office at school. But then again, so did comedian. So if you can join us this Sunday, please do. And by tweeting Hept Club Live and the ticket link, you can win a bundle of books and DVDs. So that's hashtag Hept Club Live. And if most likely you're listening to this after April 23rd, don't tweet about that, but do tweet about this podcast. Right now, that is what your bring a bottle moment is. Tweet about this podcast. Tell your followers and friends to listen, subscribe. Just spread word of us. We are a very small venture. I personally set up all the drinks and nibbles and hope that seven guests will come. So if you're a quick downloader, it's the live show to plug. Get your tickets. If you're a later downloader, as it's most likely to be fair, then just tweet generally about the podcast. Actually, it'd be lovely as well to hear from you if you think we should do more live shows. If you want to get in touch, either on our Facebook page or tweet me at Paul Carenza, would you come to a future live show? Should we keep doing more of them? Do let me know. Right now, here's more from that champion podcaster, comedian and financial guru, Dominic Frisby.
I think podcasting is the most fantastic medium because it is a way of orally transferring knowledge, or even hourly, as in AU, as in through the ear. And the human mind is actually, the way we are physiologically made up, we are better designed to absorb information through our ears, because that is how knowledge has always been passed orally. And you know, the written word is only, in the context of human history, a more recent invention. And actually, although some of us are better readers than others, but you know, and some people are very good at absorbing information from the page, but actually orally is an even better way of transferring information. So you know, for example, I'll listen to financial podcasts and often I'll be able to take it in much better.
Did you have a financial background before?
No, I've always wanted to be rich, and I've had two or three chances to be rich, all of which I've blown through bad decisions at key moments. Usually trying to be too clever by three quarters. But I had a bit of money and I wanted to invest it, and I started listening to financial podcasts, actually, funnily enough, and reading stuff online, 2006. And of course, financially, economically, and also politically, we're living through momentous times.
Well, totally. We all feel we need
to. It began with 2008.
Yes.
And everyone said, you know, quantitative easing and low interest rates going to end with massive inflation. Where's it going to end? And where it's ended is political division. And it's ended with Jeremy Corbyn and Brexit and Donald Trump and Nigel Farage and Marine Le Pen. That's where quantitative easing has ended, because the inequality that those monetary policies, which are a reaction to the financial crisis, it was the inequality that those policies have caused, have given rise to, political extremism, so-called political extremism.
I see. So you put that down to that?
Completely.
Right. Interesting.
And in fact, it goes back a lot further than that, but it kind of, if it was a graph, it suddenly went a lot far, you know, it went a lot more vertical after 2008.
I see. I hadn't even put those things together.
People don't.
Of course. You just don't, do you? You think it seems a bit more Jeremy Kyle than that, you know?
The Heptagon Club.
Seven guests, seven corners. The Heptagon Club with Paul Carenza.
Now, Dominic Frisby's got financial advice for us for a future podcast. Well worth a listen to that. We will be rich, I say. Rich! All that on a future episode. Now, speaking of returning guests, last week we welcomed Eric McElroy, great US comic and a news pundit. And here he is, once again, returning, fresh from telling news anchors what he thinks about the latest in US politics.
I got a call because Mike Pence, the Vice President of the United States,
yes,
was recently discovered, does not dine with other women unless his wife is present. And also, if he's at an event in public where alcohol is being served, he will not stay after, I guess, 8 p.m. if his wife is not present as well, because if there's other women there.
I see.
And this is because he's an evangelical Christian.
Okay.
And so this has to do with his faith and honoring his marriage and everything else.
Right.
So this has become a big... He mentioned this back in 2002.
Right, okay.
But it's kind of just, there was a piece that brought it back up into the main press.
So this is either temptations or perception of one of the others.
I guess both.
It's either,
it's
either from his loins or from our eyes.
Well, either, you know, I mean, this apparently came out of when he was a congressman. And like, you know, MPs, they work late nights. There's alcohol, boozy, there's people, you know, Monica Lewinsky again.
Of course,
sorts of things happen. And so he just had this rule. But apparently, because I guess he has a low threshold for cheating, I guess.
Okay.
Or I don't know what, personally, you don't want to question someone's personal choices of their marriage and so on. But at the same time, then you think, all right, well, he's got two people on his staff. One's a woman, one's a man. He's going to have to pull an all-nighter.
Yeah.
So who gets the career advancement?
Just as long as he doesn't pull an all-nighter.
Yeah. Or, or maybe, you know, there's been congressmen that have had time with their male colleagues.
Well, that's
as
very
well,
true.
So oh,
you
I don't
could
want
be
any...
tempted in either direction.
Yeah. So that's where it kind of becomes maybe a gender sexist issue, because it's so. And you know, Theresa May. I think there's a good chance Mike Pence is the next president of the United States.
I suppose if
there's a very, very good chance.
If Trumpy goes his way,
by heartbeat or by impeachment.
Yep.
I think we're going to see President Pence
one time.
So Theresa May comes. Does he get to have dinner with Theresa May alone?
Yeah. Okay.
I mean, he's not going to hold her hand, obviously.
No.
That's not going to happen.
No.
But, so what happens then?
Does
he have to have his mother there?
Yeah.
Does he have to have a chaperone? You know, then it's a real issue. And so I was on, that was my point of view. Then this the woman that I was debating with, she was from a conservative magazine in the UK, she's British, and she just said, this is typical of the nasty left. They're attacking him for his values. They should leave the poor couple alone.
Is that you? Are you the nasty left? Is that you?
I was apparently the nasty left. Right. She said nasty left so many times I lost count. Okay. I was trying. I was just. It was. She went full in, and I've never had that experience on the BBC before. It's generally, she felt like she was trying to be on Fox News, not midday.
It's an audition for Fox News.
Maybe. Yeah, she leaned heavy in, and trying to react to that was interesting because I'm not an angry left. Okay. You know, I try to be reasonably moderate. But I had to kind of come back and say, well, I don't think all of us on the left are nasty. This is about the job. Yeah. And he's in one of the highest positions in America. And I think his behavior and how he chooses to is worth looking at. And she just said, I was the nasty left. That was the nasty left. That's typical of the nasty left. And that's all. That was her entire argument.
Wow. The Foxy News. Foxy News and the last nasty left.
Pretty thin as an argument. But I mean, I don't know. As a man of faith, are you allowed to dine with the lady?
I've never asked my wife or my vicar or God.
Do you leave the room when you see alcohol being in behind?
I do a lot of gigs after 8 p.m. where there is booze in the room and the occasional female comedian or audience member. There are women out there, you know, I hate to say. The way you said it there makes me wonder if Mike Pence invented this rule. Because they're going like, oh, we've got to work late again, Mike. I want to go home. Oh, it's this rule. I got to go. Yeah. You carry on work. I'll be pick up tomorrow.
It's about some of his friends. Or, I mean, maybe he just has... I mean, I don't think he's not the kind that I would cheat with. But maybe, I mean, he's attracted to at least one woman. But, or maybe he just has no self-control.
Well, if only we had a bona fide evangelical theologian here to weigh in on this. Is there a doctor in the house?
Dr. Krish Kandaya, indeed.
Hey, Krish is fine.
Can we call you Krish?
Yeah.
Fair enough. What's the doctorate in then? Because my research tells me that you have degrees in chemistry and
theology.
Theology is the... How does chemistry and theology overlap? What do they meet in the middle?
Oh, really easy, actually. When I did my chemistry degree, I specialised in the philosophy of science.
Okay.
And the whole question of how we know what we know and what we know what we know became really important. And so that was actually quite an easy bridge into the world of theology, where we're trying to figure out... Actually, how do we know what we know about God?
Yeah.
And how can we communicate that with other people who might not share that faith in God?
So it's figuring the world out, I suppose.
Yeah,
whether it's on a chemical term or...
That's right.
So let's ask the chemist and theologian to unpick the potential chemistry between future President Pence and his Femi workers, his collegiens, his visiting world leadresses.
Mike Pence.
Yes.
Were he to become president, you know... Heaven forbid if Donald Trump steps to one side or whatever, but could Theresa May have a private audience with Mike Pence?
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, in one sense, it's a bit of a moot point, because if you are the president or even the vice president of the United States, chances of you not having a security officer anywhere near you is...
Good point.
..is... You know, moot. You know, I can't imagine he's having any private meetings with anybody.
But you're like, Jeff, could you step in here, please, mate? Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. That's our point.
You know, it's a tough one for me. I get where he's coming from in the sense of he's a married man. He wants to be honourable to his wife.
He's a married man. He's a madman. Yeah,
no.
That's another story.
He's a married man.
Yep.
So you know, I can get there's a kind of good motivation behind what he's trying to do, but. You know, the idea that therefore every woman is going to throw herself at him and is, you know, somehow an immoral person and therefore he needs protection from that. That's a challenge. You know, I guess he's talking about his own self-control. Yeah. He doesn't trust himself that way. So I get his intention, what he's trying to do. I guess I'd have a different way of trying to practice that. You know?
Yeah. I suppose with great power comes great responsibility, as they say.
And to be honest, sometimes powerful men do end up in some pretty interesting situations.
Well, true.
So, you know, Bill Clinton...
You need to go back a couple of presidents to see that, don't you? That's a fair point.
I always thought, you know, Sven Goran Eriksson, do you remember?
Yes,
Some very attractive women were incredibly attracted to him, and I couldn't see... Why?
Yeah.
So there does seem to be some aphrodisiac around power.
That's true. Yes.
So
whether it's the America or the England football team, very comparable areas, I'm sure.
Yeah. If there could be a candid photograph of their hand on someone's arm, it's 9 o'clock. They've both got a glass of wine. I don't know. But I think it's more. Is it more how it looks or more how they're tempted? I don't know. But
if it's because it's a job based thing, that's why I think it's fair to criticise, because it will impact the women. So you know, if he has an aide, so he's not going to ride in the car with her as they drive to something to prepare because his wife can't be there.
Yeah.
So that's where it has a legitimate political point to discuss.
Yes.
Or maybe that's just me saying that because I'm on the nasty left. But maybe I'll get more bookings if I Hopkins it up.
You've got a Hopkins eyes.
But I just, God.
You're going to be an angry centrist.
Which, is that possible?
Furiously in the middle.
We need to negotiate more.
Exactly.
We need to be more balanced.
Yes. It's not on equilibrium.
No one's going to. No, that's why Brexit happened, because the moderates went, it's not happening, it's sat at home.
Yes, exactly. Anyway, well, thanks for having us. Thanks for being
here.
Thank you for being part of this lovely Heptagon Club.
Yeah.
And Eric has a special show commemorating 100 days of Trump, 27th of April in King's Cross in London, if you catch this in time. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is 7 guests already. So my thanks to all, from comedian to actor to theologian, to you for listening. And all will return for chats in future episodes, along with who knows else we're going to get. It'll recommence after a short interval of a month or more. Expect Ep 10 probably in about late May, early June. Right now, we're just back with a couple of these little mini episodes to tell you about the live thingy. If you can join us for that, please do. And if not, you can listen to all of our guests as we bring them to you for a future episode. So if that date has passed, you can look me up on paulcarenza.com for future tour dates of my stand-up, including my summer tour of Navel-less Gazing. More of that on a future episode. Most immediately, I'm doing a show at the Miller in Elephant and Castle, a solo show, Tuesday 9th of May. Catch that if you can. And I've got books online you can find out about as well.
Hey, you, has anybody said to you today?
The music's by Rob Halligan. Do rate us on iTunes, please. Join the Facebook group.
You look positively beautiful in your blue jeans.
And tell your chums, hey, go on Facebook now. Tell the world that you listen. And we're back in a month or so after our spring-summer break. Goodbye, and goodbye.